All right, those that are remaining in here, adults, could I ask you this? How many of you men and women have been on a retreat sometime in the last few weeks? Somebody tell me, or raise your hand if you've been on a retreat. If you've been to any of the retreats in the last few weeks, good. I know we had a ton of men that were gone. Some went up Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think everybody came back, though. Tom, did everybody come back? We're all back. Okay. So the guys that you know that were at the Woodman's retreat are the guys that smell like bonfire right now, and they'll fall asleep. Because I heard, like, junior high girls, they stayed up till 3 in the morning talking by the bonfire. Right? Did I hear that? Some stayed up that late? Yeah. All right. Don't fall asleep in here. Okay? All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into this last week of our mission month. Lord, thanks. Help us to get from you today what you have for us. Help us to be wide open to it. And when we get it and we know it's from you, no matter what the cost, help us to follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Last week we kind of walked through the book of Mark simply looking at the idea of good news. We looked at the times that that it referred to the gospel in Mark. So I'm going to connect it these three ways. We bunched those verses together in three different groupings. The first one really was the core of what the gospel is. And do you remember how Mark, the gospel of Mark, starts off? It starts off simply saying, we're going to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of Christ. And then that first section ended in Mark 1:15, where it talked about the good news, had these two parts, to repent and believe. And repent is to turn around and go in a different direction, and then believe. That's all he's saying. The good news is this, that any one of us at any time, no matter how far we've walked away from God, we can turn around, walk in his direction, and believe, and the world changes for us. Life changes for us. So I call that the core of the gospel. The core of the gospel is this, that at any moment, any one of us can turn around and walk towards God, believing that he can take care of whatever in our lives. That's the core of the gospel. Then we move to the second section, which was the choice. And it really comes to that verse, if you try and keep your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it for Christ and the gospel's sake, then you'll find it. So if the core of the message is that any moment we can turn and walk towards God, the second part is the choice that we make. Are we going to make that choice? Is that what we want? Is that what touches us most and meets the deepest needs that we have? And there was a third part, and that's the calling. It's simply the good news must be preached around the world. And we looked at that, our world and my world. Last week we looked at my world more than anything, where I live, where I spend my time Sunday through Saturday, the people that I interact with. Well, we ended the trail in Mark 16, and that's where I want to pick it up. We read one verse from it last week. I want to expand a little bit on it, okay? Mark 16, 9 through 16. Says this, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they didn't believe. That's crazy talk. Afterwards, he appeared in different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. So listen, if you've been a witness for a long time to somebody, and you don't get why they don't believe Jesus, no, it's not that unusual. But then it gives us this. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. If the core is that the gospel is Jesus Christ, and at any moment we can turn and walk in a different direction, and that believing our whole world will change, if that's the core, then the calling comes down to two words. It comes down to go and preach. What am I supposed to do with the good news? Go and preach. So this morning we're just going to practice that. I'm going to call on several of you. I'm going to have you come up here and you're preaching. Some of you who aren't sweating, you better start sweating, because I am going to call on you if you're not sweating. No, that's not what it is. But this doesn't say Tim should go and preach the gospel. It doesn't say pastor should go and preach the gospel. It's Jesus' words to his disciples and to every Christ follower there is. Go and preach. That's what he's saying. Go where? Into all the world. Preach what? The good news. Let's start with the second one first, okay? It's this idea of preach. One of my great surprises in spending a little extra time in this verse was discovering something I'd never seen before. And that's the word that's used for preach here is not the word that I guessed that it would be. There's more than one word for preach in the Greek language, but the one that I thought it would be is the one that we get evangelism from. That's what I thought it would be. I thought that would make sense. Go, preach the good news. Like I thought it connected itself together. It isn't that word. It's this other word, caruso. Let me tell you the difference between it. To evangelize is to simply go and say, listen, I've got some good news for you, and here's the good news. Caruso goes way further than that. It goes way further than that. It includes that, bringing the good news, but it goes way further. It's to publish. It's to proclaim. The idea of this actually became an official position in most kingdoms. Steve, go ahead and put up this idea of preach. Listen to this. The imperial herald would enter a town in behalf of the emperor and make a public proclamation of the message which his sovereign ordered him to give. Doing so with such formality, gravity, and authority as to emphasize what the message must be, that the message must be heeded. All right. So you ever heard of this before? You ever heard of a herald? Disney that makes such incredible pictures out of fairy tales, right? They always have this herald, usually preceded by a trumpeter to get everybody's attention. And then the herald stands up and clears his throat and speaks incredibly, speaks as loud as he possibly can so that everybody can hear the words of the king. I love that it says this because every place I looked and did any research, it always talked about with formality, gravity, and authority. This is a very formal thing. Gravity, take it serious, and know it's from the king. So he says, go and preach. He's not just saying, I got good news for you. It's more than that. It's with the formality that my king sent me to give this message to you. And this message is the most serious message I could ever give to you. And I feel the authority of it, not because of my self-importance, but because I know it's true because it's happened in my life. I'll give you one more quote about this caruso, this preach. It's official and it's thorough. To preach, to proclaim, to publish. Always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed. The idea is to preach or proclaim with the goal to persuade, urge, or to warn to comply. Just doing a little research. These guys had to strategically go into a community, give information that might not be popular, and know how to handle a riot, because people may not want to hear what you had to say. But they had to say it anyway. So we give this idea of, what do we do with the good news? Well, we preach it. We publish it. We proclaim it. We do it with all seriousness. We do it with the authority that the King has stamped on us. We do it with love. We do it with passion. We do it in a thorough way. Sometimes people say to me, you know, I want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, but I'm afraid they're going to ask me something that I don't know. So let me put those fears away. They are going to ask you something you don't know. But what they need and want most is to hear what God's done in your life. If you know the Romans Road, that's great. But what they need to hear is what God's done in your life. That's where that authority comes from. He's transformed my life. He's given my life meaning and purpose. So he tells us to preach. Here's another passage that this word is used in, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. That's how thorough this idea of preaching is. What are we supposed to preach? We spent a lot of time this month in just this idea. We're supposed to preach the good news. Let me give it to you in a way that maybe you can carry it with you. Okay? John 3:16, pretty familiar, right? This is in the English Standard Version. So I think it's pretty much, if you grew up with King James or NIV, New American Standard, it would be kind of that idea, okay? So let's read this together, okay? You want to know what the good news is? You want to know what you're supposed to preach? Here it is, all right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Let me try that again. We got like half of you going here. Ready? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So let me give you the good news, okay? God loves. Can you preach that? God loves. Whatever situation you find anybody in, God loves. You ever met anybody that their life has just been one wrong choice after another, and you get to them at some point and start talking to them, and they say, you know, there's nothing God could do with me. What do you say to them? God loves. Right? God loves. I say to people, do you think your sin is greater or God's love is greater? Because they know their sin is big. And about the only thing that you can talk to them about that's bigger is this idea of God's love. The good news is about God loves. But in this verse, it goes further than that. The good news is about God loves, so He gives. In this verse, it's really specific, isn't it? He gives His Son. But you could fill in that blank with anything. Does God give hope? Yes, He does. Does He give peace? Does He give healing? Does He give forgiveness? Man, this preaches. God loves. God loves, so He gives. Think about what He's given to you. Think about how many times in our church family we've prayed for things that were bigger than us. God gave. The good news is God loves, so He gives. And then it gets bigger. God loves, so He gives life. You tired of me quoting John 10:10? Thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. Man, I love the second part of that verse. Christ comes to give life in its fullness. He comes to give life to the point of overflowing. That's good news. He's saying, Preacher Ken, Preacher Barb, Preacher Beatrice, oh boy, to that one. We'd be dancing all over, wouldn't we? You want something to preach? Preach this. God loves. God loves, so He gives. God loves, so He gives life. That's good stuff. It's a verse we're so familiar with, and this is the good news. That's what we're supposed to preach, and where we're supposed to go is into all the world. I love this verse in Acts 1:8. I know it gets used in every mission month, and it should. Jesus meeting again with his Christ followers, and He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, and in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the world." So let me just break that down. It starts out wherever's closest to you, and then works its way out. That's all it does. That's all it is. So just take me personally. It starts in me. It's the good news in me, and then it moves to the people that I'm closest to, and it moves to my acquaintances, and then it moves to complete strangers. So in my everyday life, I can take the good news with me in every circle that moves out from me. It starts here with me, and then it moves out. We do that same thing with our church. It's our neighbors. It's our city. It's our country. It's the world. It's this idea of it starts here, and then it just keeps moving out. It starts with me knowing God loves me and gives life, and then it moves out with me sharing that with everybody around me. So we framed it this way in our new mission paradigm. We framed it this way across. It starts with our family, and then it goes to our community, and then it goes to our world, and then it goes to our heart, to people that God brings across our path that it makes no sense, but we know He connects us. We spent a lot of time the last few weeks with our family and with our world. We want to talk a little bit about our community now, okay? And we've heard reports from Africa, from Brazil, from Albania, and from Haiti. We've heard those reports. Now we're going to go to maybe the most exotic location you've ever heard of. Rockford, Illinois. And I just want you to take this in. Because this is here. This is right here. It's a ministry that we've been involved with for a while now. And it's a ministry we feel connected to. And we think it's vital, not just in our community, but around our country and around the world. But I want you to hear from the leader of that. So Tiffany, would you come?
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me here today. And just to give you a brief update, I can't not start by saying thank you, because you are a partner and a supporter, and we're just very, very grateful for all of our partners in the community. So I'm just here to share a little bit with you about the Pregnancy Care Center of Rockford. And I know, because many of you are already partners, you may know more than I know. I've only been there for a year and a half, but others of you may be brand new to the Pregnancy Care Center, and you may not know what it is that we do. So I'm just going to share a little bit with you in case you don't know. We've been in the community for 32 years, and the mission has always been to offer help and hope to those that who are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. You may be surprised to know that 50% of all pregnancies are unplanned. So when you think about Winnebago and Boone County in the last year, we had 5,000 pregnancies in Winnebago and Boone County. And that means that 2,500 of those came to women who weren't planning on that. And in the last year, we saw about 1,200 of those women. So we see over 100 women each month that come through our doors as new clients facing an unplanned pregnancy. And what you may be surprised to know is that in the last 3 months, we've seen a 70% increase. We don't know exactly why. We don't necessarily think it's because unplanned pregnancy is that much on the rise. We hope that it's because we're doing a lot of marketing in local schools and college campuses and trying to get the word out that we're there. But our clients range in age from as young as 11 years old to 49 years old. I think those are the two ends of the spectrum. But the vast majority are in their 20s. We see about 17% of teen pregnancies now, 60% are in their early 20s. And our client might be someone who is addicted and homeless, or our client might be someone who is a cheerleader at a local Christian high school. We never know who is going to walk through our doors. It might be the boyfriend of someone who's pregnant. It might be someone who has never stepped foot in a church, or it might be someone that's attended a church her whole life. But what we've discovered is that there's always the same common denominator, and that is there's always a sense of fear and anxiety and confusion. And so what we try to do, because if you've ever been in a situation where you feel like you're facing a crisis, everything speeds up, and you feel like you have to get all the answers and make a decision. And so a lot of the women walking through our doors are in panic, and they're trying to make a decision really fast. They want this to go away. And so we try to carve out a real safe space where women can walk in and where we can say, you know what, let's just take a deep breath. We're right here. So even if you haven't told mom and dad yet, you haven't told your significant other, we're going to walk alongside you through this. We're right here, even if you have no one else. And so then we try to present their options and really make sure that they have accurate information, especially if they're leaning towards terminating a pregnancy. We want to make sure they know what they're doing before they go and make that decision. And so we present those options, but we also offer free and confidential pregnancy tests. We do ultrasounds. We now do STD testing. You may not know, Illinois is in the top 10. Of our country for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And so we do a lot of educating. And what women don't know is if they're considering going and getting an abortion and they're carrying one of those two STDs and they go through with it, then they have a 25% higher chance of getting pelvic inflammatory disease and becoming sterile. And so we're trying to make sure that these women have the information about their bodies, about their relationships. And what we do is we do an STD test, and we have them come back in a week. We say, if you can hold off on this decision for a week, come back, get these results, get another ultrasound. Let's connect you with what's happening inside you. 70 to 90% of women change their mind when they see an ultrasound, because all of a sudden they connect that this isn't just a mass or a blob. This is a life growing inside me. And so we do all of those things, and then we provide mentoring. If they choose to make an adoption plan, we can connect them with an adoption agency that can walk alongside them. We can prepare them for parenthood if they're planning to carry and parent. And we also offer classes. We have a baby boutique in each of our locations, so we provide free resources as they show up and as they come to their appointments and their classes. And finally, we provide referrals to other agencies. So when they, if it's a situation with domestic abuse, if there's a situation going on that is above us or it's outside of our scope of expertise, we can refer them and get them connected to their needs. We share God's love. And so we pray, we offer to pray with every single client. We have a Bible for every single client. We share that there is hope in this situation and that there is a loving God who forgives no matter what choices they've made. Here's what we don't do, which may be as important as what we do. We don't judge someone for their situation. So we don't shame them for the choices they've already made. We take them from where they are right now and say, how can we move forward and invite God into this picture? We don't shame them. We don't use scare tactics. I'm really passionate about not deceiving or manipulating in order to get a woman to make the choice we think she should make. We're faith-based. Obviously, we would love to see every woman choose life. But at the end of the day, just like any other thing we face in life, she has to make that choice. We can't do it for her. And so we do everything we can to share God's love, God's hope, the information and truth so that she can make the most life-giving choice. We also don't engage in backing any political candidates or any radical behavior. We've gotten a lot of questions as people see people out on the street if that's us, and it's not. It's not, because we're trying to reach women through relationship as they come through our doors. And we want to know, be known in the community for what we stand for more than what we stand against. And we are for life and for these women and for the life that they're carrying. And we never want any woman to feel so alone or so hopeless or so backed into a corner that she feels her only option is to end her pregnancy. And that's where most of the women feel when they walk through our doors. The other piece that we do that is growing and exploding and expanding is we have a program called Positive Choices, where we go into the schools. We have one director of education, 30 hours a week, and she did 68 presentations in the spring to many, many schools in our community. We've been in West Middle School, Kennedy, Rockford Christian, Christian Life, Rockford Lutheran, Rock House Kids, you name it. This fall, we're adding Eisenhower and Belvedere into the mix. And now we have a team of 5 that are going into the schools, and they're talking to teenagers about how to think through and make positive sexual and relational choices so that they never have to walk through our doors and need our services. Finally, the third thing that we provide is post-abortion counseling. And you may not know that one in three women in this year, in this day and age, have had an abortion. And it's still something that many women feel deep shame about, and they've never told anyone. And so we provide a safe place where women can come in and can grieve and heal and move forward, because it is not the unforgivable sin. And many women just need to be told that and need to move forward. And many of our mentors and our volunteers, we have about 45 to 50 volunteers every week. Many of them have experienced the grace and compassion of God from choices that they've made. 2 locations. We have one on West State right across from the Justice Center, and the other one on East State right across from Rockford University. Both have full ultrasound facilities, full baby boutiques, and both are open part-time, and we're working to expand those hours since we've been so busy. You may be wondering how we're funded. You may know we're 100% privately funded. So we don't receive government or state funding, which right now is a blessing because many of our counterparts that aren't getting their state funding, it's really hurting. We're so blessed to receive from businesses and churches like yours and individuals and organizations that believe in what we do and support our work. And so if you want to get more involved today, we've got something out in the lobby called Baby Bottles, and you can take one of these and collect your spare change from now until Thanksgiving. Now, you may be wondering, how much difference can a baby bottle really make? I have two teenage boys who are very intrigued, so they counted how much one of these could hold. And we figured out that they hold generally $25 to $35 each. And we've had 1,500 of these out in the community this year. Our budgeted goal for baby bottles is to bring in $30,000 through this campaign. So it may seem like it's not a lot, but it is. And we still have $7,000 or $8,000 to go this year in this campaign. So we would love for you to grab a baby bottle on your way out. If you're interested, if something stirs in you and you think, man, I might be interested in mentoring or teaching a class or being a receptionist, we would love to talk with you about volunteering. We love our volunteers and desperately need more. And finally, pick up some information. We've got a banquet coming up in a couple weeks. We've got some really exciting announcements that are way bigger than I am, and it scares me half to death. So we've got some big announcements that we're making at our banquet in a couple weeks, and we'd love to have you there. So thank you again for your support. Thank you for your prayers, your encouragement, your volunteering, and thanks for being a part of the Pregnancy Care Center of Rockford.
Wow, did you get those numbers? 5,000 pregnancies, 2,500 of them unplanned, and 1,200 of them came through the doors of the two places. So 1/4 of all the pregnancies. So as Tiffany's giving that, I'm saying, is that something that I would want to be a part of, to help, to bless, to see do ministry?